Well, we're going back again into our teaching of mountain-moving faith. Hallelujah. So, praise God. As we've said time and time again, this is not a special type of faith where you reach some great epitome. It's just basically what Jesus taught that faith is and the use of faith. So, if you think about this, the faith that you got saved with was really mountain-moving faith. It wasn't a different type. It wasn't a different way of believing. It was the same thing. Hallelujah. All we do is, really, as we gain more information and understanding of the Word, we're able to believe for more and different things. So, we're looking at teaching in these lines so we can develop our faith. And last week, we were teaching and looking at, really, a hindrance. And really, Jesus spoke about, and we talked about the fact, was really the only hindrance that Jesus spoke specifically about himself concerning faith. And a hindrance to faith. And we went over to Mark 11:23, and we read down through from there, I want to go back down over again there tonight. To read down through that again. And in Mark, the 11th chapter, and in verse 23, very familiar as we were teaching and started off with these, and really this is the foundation of what we started off in this teaching. In Mark 11:23, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So that those are the principle of faith is laid out there in its use from just saying or when we pray. It tells us that the using that principle, the principle is laid out in Mark 11:23. And remember, when you do, you're going to walk in Mark 11:24, you're going to pray, you follow the exact same principle laid out in Mark 11:23. Now, Jesus went on to say this, and this is what we looked at last week, was Mark 11:25. It started, and Jesus made this statement talking about the areas of faith. Because remember, the disciples had asked him, "How did you do this?" So he's explaining to him, and Jesus said to him, said in verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." We talked about the fact that Jesus, in revealing or talking about this, he had Kenneth Hagin had it in his teaching, but he had made mention in saying about the fact that this is the only place where Jesus had specifically spoke about faith, and is the only thing that he had ever said specifically about a hindrance to faith. And as the areas here, he talked about forgiveness. And really, what we're talking about is in the area really of love is what we're talking about. You know, in the areas of forgiveness is forgiving people. We did teaching last week, looking at some of the scriptures and things into this area about forgiveness and the importance of forgiving. And we talked, one of the things is, and I used some illustration that Kenneth Hagin had given, talking about when he was asked by a lady why her husband's family always seemed to get healed and how things worked out well for them, but yet and her side of the family it almost never did. And yet when you looked at actually what the two sides were doing, one side maybe wasn't walking as perfect as the other. But Kenneth Hagin had told her, he said, "I really, you don't know what always why people don't receive or not. Sometimes you don't know unless the Lord would reveal it to you." But he said, I can tell you some pretty good qualities about the difference about these individuals. And he made mention in them, he had told the woman, he said, "Without knowing your husband's family, I would say that they have two outstanding qualities. They are quick to repent and forgive, and that they were quick to believe." So there's those three things. Quick to repent, they've done something wrong. He said, "They're quick to forgive, and they're quick to believe." And she said, "Well, that's exactly right." And concerning her own family, what she said was, "Gee, that's exactly what they didn't have. they weren't quick to repent. They weren't quick to forgive, and they weren't quick to believe." And really, I think there's a lot of that just sort of runs together. You know, you get people who aren't quick to repent or turn from something, I think you'll always find that they have a hard time in the areas of forgiveness and believing too. I think it's all sort of just runs together. It really does. It seems like it snowballs from that. And anyhow, those were the qualities, excuse me, that he had said, and she had seen in that, and we talked about that in area, the areas of forgiveness and walking in forgiveness, how important those areas are. We had read, from Romans 5:5, where it said, now hope does not disappoint, but he says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we need to understand this. We're not trying to walk in love. And see, get away from that thinking. One of the things is, as you guys have heard me talk about this before, and many times in the areas of teaching, is becoming, inside-minded instead of outside-minded. Most people are more minded about the physical, the outside, than they are on the inside. And if you're not inside-minded, you're going to have a problem in the areas, because really, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God to begin with, you're going to have to be inside-minded. You got to start thinking of yourself as a spirit being rather than a physical being. You have a physical body, but you're not a physical being. You're not. And really, that's one of the great falsities that many people today, much focuses on the outside. It's always toward the outer man. But really, the success of the Christian life is to being inside-minded. In other words, you're a spirit being. The real you can't be seen. Now, it can manifest through your physical body, but it can't be seen. So the real you is not seen. Your physical body is not the real you. I've never seen you people, the real you. I haven't ever seen it. I've only ever seen your bodies. That's it. I've never seen the real you. Now, most people believe the exact opposite, and most Christians do. They believe the exact opposite. They believe, that what the person I see them, that's them. And it's not them. We don't see the real us. Now, we can cause the real us to manifest into the outside. It's like Paul wrote about a woman attracting a man. He said how she ought to attract a guy. He said not by the outward appearance, not by wearing gold and all this stuff. Didn't say they couldn't do it, but he said you want to attract a man by the hidden person of the heart. In other words, that inward person can manifest itself to the outside. And Paul said that's what you want to use to attract people. So you can use the outside, and this is what we do in our society today. Our society, and even majority of Christians, do all their attraction to other people through outward things. That's how they attract people. I often thought about Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin, from a ministerial standpoint, he was not a real flamboyant man or anything like that. And I often thought about how, from the outward, as him as like being a social person, he wasn't. He wasn't none of those things. Yet he attracted people. People were attracted to his ministry and attracted to him. I mean, Kenneth Hagin, I don't know if he ever left the United States over one or two times, but the man was known worldwide. Well, it couldn't have been from the outward. It couldn't have been that. That wasn't what made it happen. It's about, Brother Hagin used to say this all the time when he would teach, and he would teach even in school, he'd say to us, I'm not ministering to your outward man. I'm not ministering to your mind. That's not what I do. I'm ministering to your heart. And see, that's what you want to minister to people's spirits, not to their mind. Today, most ministry that goes on, most television ministry, is all to the outside. It's to the mind. They're speaking to us. You go to churches. They do all their stuff with their lighting and everything. That is to attract the outer man. They're not ministering to the spirit. And this is why we don't have spiritual development. And it's understanding that. It's one of the wonderful things when sitting under the teaching of Kenneth Hagin is understanding, as a Christian, what I really was, and learning to walk in the light of who I really was, rather than trying to, get this outward man thing conformed. We change the outward by the inward. religion always, and people who are doing all this stuff today with all the stuff to make, you know, the outward appearance great, is doing all that it can to try to change what people see by what we already have around us. That's what they're using. It isn't about the inward. So the people never can develop spiritually because they don't see themselves as an inward person. Everything's focused on the outside. It's all focused on the outward. So see, you want to come in contact with the love of God, you have to come in contact with the inner man. You know, just sort of like things we were talking about, you know, going into the social media thing. The reason the social media thing and people are so attracted, because whether it's the world or the Christian, is because it feeds the flesh and it feeds the mind. And it takes people over. And people get over, they get self-absorbed. Anything that gets you into self-absorbed, it can't be God. It can't be spiritual. It won't get you self-absorbed. You get over in the spirit with God. And the last thing it will ever lead you to is you being big-headed. It'll never lead you to that. It'll lead you to humility, not stupidity. It's like, it's really amazing. And so, you know, they're talking about this, well, we want to use all these social trends to try to reach people. I don't know, because the Bible specifically tells us this. That men, when I say man, I mean from the standpoint of mankind, is anointed by God to preach the gospel, not text it, not tweet it. You're still going to have to do the preaching. In other words, the communication of talk between people. And I'll tell you, this media stuff and everything they're trying to do, it is not working. It does not work. It's not changing people's lives. It's not doing it. The only thing that I see that these things do, that doesn't mean that, you know, all of this is bad, but we're dealing with an area for the self-absorbed society that is just, you know, doing the weirdest stuff. And it's an unhook from people. And that's the whole thing is the gospel. I mean, if you think about Jesus, I mean, you know, he went from place to place preaching and teaching. You know, he didn't go try to stay away from people, you know. He didn't send them letters. He just sent them a notice and a poster. Yeah. But we need to get into this, and we got to come back to this thing. This thing we're going to. I remember them saying this back years ago. They made this bit. Oh, you know, we got the satellites up here now and all this stuff, and oh, we got satellite TV, and we're going to preach the gospel all over the world, and we're going to reach all these people. We ain't going to need all these missionaries going. I remember these big name ministers saying this. Oh, we're reaching the world. Oh, we're doing it. Boy, hasn't church worked out great with that? They're trying not to be personable. You know, I can sit and just do my little videotape thing and I can send it and I can go out and do what I want. You're going to have to go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't think there's another way to do it. You're going to have to set foot in places. You're going to have to set foot in places and preach. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. The most successful things that they ever have meetings are meetings where guy goes and to people. You know, right, think about Reinhard Bonnke's success. He's not doing it from a satellite. He goes to a place and draws a big crowd and stands there with them and preaches. See, we have all this stuff out here today is going on. And I'm going to tell you, it isn't working. This commercial gospel stuff is just not working. It's not. It hasn't done it all. It's produced more celebrities than it, and not really. It hasn't done much for making disciples. Excuse me. In John the 13:35, Jesus made this statement. Jesus said in John 13:35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So in other words, in understanding, Jesus spoke about the love that the disciples, you know, this is one of the most interesting things. Think about this from the church perspective. Jesus said that people would know we were his disciples because of the love for one another, not for the love of the world. For the love of each other, speaking of disciples. And he made that statement there. He made that, and I've talked about that, with last week. I've also discussed that before, dealing in the areas we've done everything to try to reach the world. When the church doesn't reach its own, it doesn't deal with things. John, when John also wrote in 1 John, in his letter in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in verse 14, where he said, "We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death." So in other words, John wrote and said, you know you're born again. You know you're a child of God because you love your brother. You love the brother. That's how you know. Isn't that history? That's 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. So really, you know you're born again because you love the brother. And this is one thing is dealing, especially with the church world in its whole concept about doing things. Instead of bringing the unity that Christ wants the church, we're trying to bring unity through all kind of different ways and different things. And we think this communication stuff we got so-called today has to do with all, we're keeping in touch with each other. No, we're not. We're not in touch. It keeps people separated from each other, and really people never make real contact with each other. They don't do. I have a little cartoon you'll see on Sunday that I put in the bulletin. it sort of reaches like of the world we're in today, of what's going on, and it deals with this subject. Now I want you to see something in Deuteronomy. If we go to the book of, back to the book of Deuteronomy, 28th chapter, which deals with the curse and the blessing under the law, but we need to see something there, because as Christians, there's things that we need to understand really dealing with the blessing. Now we're talking about, Jesus said that a hindrance to our faith would be the areas unforgiveness and that kind of stuff, dealing with walking in love. In that area, he said, he used that specifically, would be a hindrance to people's faith. And I see that along the line with people. When you get in with people and they are especially over in the areas dealing with love and that stuff, not walking in love, you watch people, they take advantage of other people, they're always doing different things and stuff like that. People, I've heard people over the years, they talk about their faith and I'm believing God. And when they use other Christians, they're, well, I'm believing God, but they're always telling other people what they're believing for, trying to get other people to give them what they're, and what they don't realize, they're walking in areas they're not walking in love. They see other people as a target for what they want, or to fulfill what they feel they need. They talk about faith, but yet they're not using faith. Many years back, but we maybe had started church a year or two, something like that. And I remember there was an individual who was going around the church doing that. He was, we had this guy, and he would talk about believing stuff. Then he would go tell people, that he's believing God because he needs this or he doesn't have that. And he's going and telling people this. And I had to finally call him aside, and I told him, I said, you need to stop this. I said, if you're believing God, you don't have to go telling everybody what you need. Because I said, I know what you're doing. You're trying to get people. And I said, there's people who come and complain because you keep coming to them. And I said, you're trying to hit people up. And I said, you will bring that to a stop. Well, he left then and went to another church and did it. So the people, but I just told him, you stop. You're not going to do that here. I said, these people are not your target to get what you want. You're trying to use them. I said, you don't like them. You're just here trying to take advantage of people to get what you want. And I said, you're talking about using faith? And I said, you don't know the first thing about faith. So I said, knock off this faith stuff. You ain't got none. I said, what you're doing is just what any beggar can do. I said, there ain't nothing matters to, you say something, you have a need of something, and it's fine, but you can't go around all the time telling people, and doing this. And this is what we do, is always hitting people up for stuff. So I'm just pretty straightforward about those kind of things. I just don't go along with it. And I'm going to tell people, is going around, because what happens, they're just taking it, they're always running around to take advantage of people. So over the years, I've ran into numbers of people. We've had a number of times people come through our church that have been like that, they'll come through, and when they find out you don't give them what they want, they leave. They're looking for a church, and there are churches, and they'll put up with it for a while, I don't put up with it. So I find out what's going on, I shut the door on it immediately. I bring it to a stop. That's what you came here for. That's what you're looking for. You need to go to another place. I don't want you here. You know, you don't use your brother and sister as not your target. You're supposed to love them. And that ain't love when all you see them is as a way to get what you want. And we have a lot of that in our society, and it's loads of it in the church world, and it's not good. Because what happens is people end up, that don't bring any kind of unity or anything when you let people like that run and do stuff inside a group. It sure doesn't bring any kind of unity. But in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, what we find here, because the principle, we see this principle laid out, and this is one thing we need to understand about. You've heard me talk about the fact that the principles of the scriptures that are laid out of how things of the kingdom of God work, that are in the types and shadows that are in the Old Testament, have those things have not changed because we went to the New Testament. The types of things and how things operate, the laws that run the spirit kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, the way these things operate, it operates the same, and it's never changed, is the principle. Now, there's one thing we know from our covenant. We have a higher area of authority we can walk in the kingdom, and things we can demand and command that they couldn't under the old covenant. But nonetheless, the principles stay the same. Now, in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, here God, speaking to the children of Israel, and he talks to them in Deuteronomy 28, the first verse says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you'll diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." So I want you to see there's a principle laid out here, and we're going to find out that principle hasn't changed over the new covenant. The blessing of God has always been and always will be is obeying what God commanded. In other words, the rules that God laid out, law are rules. Laws are rules and how things work. This is, we lay out rules and we have these rules and how things work. We find the rules are laid out by God, and we're going to find it never changes. Whatever God commanded you had to do to be blessed, it's always going to be the same way. So now we find out, we know this, with Christ fulfilling the law, for some reason the church acts like because the law is fulfilled, I don't have to obey with anything with the law. And see, then they get over the idea as well, the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. Well, you can't lie, cheat, and steal. I mean, that's still command. That's still on the New Testament. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Paul said, if you don't go steal, he talked to Christians, don't steal anymore. Labor with your hands. You have to give those to need. He'd say, go ahead, keep stealing. Just go right ahead. We're not under the law and that. But he commanded. Now we find that because we go over to John, Jesus Christ, back to the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, Jesus made a statement here concerning, because we're dealing with the area of command, and God commands, why? If you follow it, the blessing. It's the blessing. Well, that's what we want. We want the blessing. There's nothing wrong with wanting the blessing. You want it. Well, we have here. Jesus says in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, do you see this? He said a command. Now, you are not, or I have not been asked by God to love anybody. We have been commanded to do it. You see, the church, I don't think the church still as a whole, and even when I hear people sometimes teach on the subject of love, this is not a suggestion or something to try to do. This is a command to do it. It would be absolutely way out of line of Jesus Christ to told these disciples and commanded them to walk in love if they could not do it. It was a command. You must do this. Now, back under the law, they were commanded. You got to do what the law says, and these blessings will overtake you. But it also says, if we'd have read down through that chapter, the curses that come if you don't follow the command. I'm sorry to say this, But the New Testament ain't no different. Look at, if we went over to the Corinthian church, where Paul talked to them concerning communion. See, they weren't walking right in love to each other. They said they were getting together having communion. One would bring food and the other didn't have any. They would eat and get drunk and doing all kinds of things. He said, we're more. He said, that's why many of you are weak and sick and some have died prematurely. And God said, I've judged you over this thing. In other words, they're under curse. Why? They didn't obey the commandments. They were commanded to love one another. They didn't. They weren't. And the disobedience of commandments brought judgment. Now, I know that ain't the fun things that they want to hear today in the preaching, but it did. And when Jesus, you know, taught Mark 11, 23 and 24, he put 25 and 26 there too. So, I mean, they were put there also. And that ain't the fun thing people want to read. But if we're going to have the fulfillment, if you want the blessing of being able to ask whatever and get it, we're going to have to walk in these things. And so we're commanded to walk in love. So this is a commandment to the church. So if we keep the commandment, we'll be blessed. Just keep the command. That's why you want to keep the command. And anything you want to do is keep the commandment. Now, if we go to staying in John to the 15th chapter, because we're going to want you to see something, because what I'm going to read you here is going to right correspond with Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, and 26. Because here's what Jesus, and he's speaking to the disciples, he says to them, starting in verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you now for this purpose. Why? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may remain full. Do you know what? You can pray for love, pray for joy all you want, but if you're not going to walk in love, you ain't going to have it. He just say to, you must be obey this commandment of love. And he said, if you do, he said, my joy will remain in you and your joy is going to be full. Now listen, he says, greater love has no one than this, that he'll lay down one's life for his friend. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus didn't say everybody's just his friend, did he? Oh, I hear him preach and teach like, oh, you know, Jesus is your friend and blah, blah, blah. If you ain't walking in love and obeying the commandments, it ain't so. It doesn't teach it. Jesus said, told the disciples that if they were his friends, if they did his commandments. That's what he said. I mean, maybe we'd like to have something else, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to believe on Jesus as the scripture says. I don't care what the rest of them say about it. Jesus is right and everybody else is wrong. If you believe something else, it's wrong. I'm just telling you, just the way it is. So, listen to what he says. He goes, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now listen to this. 16. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, he's saying all that. He just told him about the commandment and all these things. Now look, I'm doing all this. Why? So you bear fruit and your fruit remains. And he tells you what the fruit that he wants to remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. See, this love commandment is tied to whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, we can get it. Well, see, Mark 11, 23, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Now, when you stand praying, if you have aught against your brother, get that straight. Get that one fixed. Why? Your prayer ain't going to get answered. It's tied to it. It's the command. It's the command. You're commanded to straighten that out. That is not a suggestion if you want to go straighten it out with somebody, or you want to get that thing, or you want to forgive. It isn't, go if you'd like to, it's the command. We're commanded to walk in love. We're commanded to forgive the guy whether or not we like to do it or not. And if we understand that, I know when I got the revelation as a young Christian, you know, when Brother Hagin used to say it, and then, you know, it finally dawned on me, is he would say it time and time again. Jesus couldn't command you to walk in love if you can't do it. It would be an unfair. It would be unjust. It would not be a righteous thing for him to do that, to ask you something. He said, you cannot go and say you can't forgive. He said, you can't do that. Because we can. Well, see, I believe people have had a lot of forgiveness problems because too many times ministers sympathize with people fleshly. And they try to, we don't want to put pressure on anybody. This ain't put pressure on. This is a Christian life. It's just the way it is. You know, somebody comes along and say, you don't know how bad it was. I don't have to know how bad it was. All I know is the law said, I got to forgive it. Jesus set the law in motion. And Jesus said, I have to. He said, the love of God shed abroad in my heart. Ed, you ain't got an excuse. So the best thing that Ed can do is never give himself an excuse. And I don't need some preacher, you know, trying to sympathize with me on my ungodliness and my refuse to obey. I don't need that. Well, number one, it's not helping me. What they're doing is keeping people from getting their prayers answered. See, my God, forgive the person. Your prayer answer is more important than fussing with them. Get healed. My healing is more important than a fuss with them. You know? You got to look at what this thing's about. See, look, you want to stay sick? Or you want to stay poor, or you want to keep a messed up family, you're asking God to help you, want to keep that up? Well, just keep doing that stuff. Get on there and walk in the commandment. See what happens, you know? You shut the door. It's like, you're not helping people. It's like, well, you know, we don't want to put pressure on people. Was Jesus putting pressure on them? So is Jesus the bad guy here? You know, Jesus would be considered a bully today. He could not preach in most churches. There's a lot of the big name spirit-filled guys, he would never get on their show. He wouldn't get on their shows because he wouldn't sympathize. He wouldn't sympathize. Do you realize Jesus was saying this to unsaved men? Dear Lord, we won't even say it to the Christian. But we really need to understand this. See, and this is one thing as I learned a long time ago, friend. I learned is one of the things I learned with Kenneth Hagin. You're going to have to learn to forgive. You know, some of my flesh has a hard time with it, but I know this. My inner man don't have a hard time about it. My inner man wants to forgive. That's what he wants to do. The real Ed wants to forgive because the love of God shed abroad in him. My God, that's what he is. I mean, he ain't trying to. My inner man's not trying to, forgive somebody. My God, the love of God's in there. And if my flesh don't want to get in line, my inner man will condemn my own flesh. Why? Because the love of God should have brought in there. And my inner man won't want to go along with that. My inner man, that's why people live in such torment. I'll tell you, there is a lot of people dealing with psychological problems that are on medications and everything else because of this area of not walking in love. And it's always a blame. Somebody else, something else is wrong, this is wrong. They'll even go around and get into Christian groups and complain about the devil. And it ain't the devil, it's the person. The devil can do what he wants as long as they keep walking in his territory and acting like him and refusing to forgive. And because they're going to live in mental torment. Because their inner man's going to be always criticizing them. Their inner man's going to always be telling them they're wrong. And they're going to be trying to always turn off their conscience. And if they get to the point they do, now they're living in a dangerous spot where you can turn your conscience off. And see, this is why, is don't do that. Don't ever let yourself live over in that area of torment, getting into that area. I'm just looking at it because I'm going to finish up now. I'm going to take a little time. We're going to go over in another area. But we could do a lot of teaching on the areas and go over into the love. But it's a commandment to us. And start just selling yourself on that fact, you know. Make a confession to yourself, as a fact. Somebody comes up and does something, I can forgive. Don't talk about it in, I can forgive. I can forgive them. Say, I know, my flesh and my mind might be thinking a lot of other things going on. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to let my voice say anything else about it. And we're going to begin to talk about that because this is one of the areas, and we need to understand, is the walk of faith. It is in the areas, and we want to look because of dealing in the areas of walk of faith because faith has to be released. And see, what's a time is just like in this area of love. Many times people never release faith. They're releasing unbelief because they're talking wrong about it. So they're releasing something else on the thing, and it can't be changed, and they can't be changed as long as they keep releasing the wrong things. Excuse me. Now, We talked about the fact that every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. So we all have a measure of the faith. Now, and also we learn that we can develop and grow it, and we have been, haven't we? Well, just, you know, even when he's sitting in these teachings, we're hearing the Word and developing under the Word and listening to it. But we found that faith's of the heart, it's not the mind. And we have our position of righteousness, praise God. That's our place where we operate from is righteousness. And we always want to forgive and keep a good report, not get over into the areas of unforgiveness and not walking in love. We want to stay out in those areas. But we want to talk about the part, really, dearly, and we're going to look at Mark 11:23 again. Because of releasing faith. And this is one of the things we want to do is because Mark 11:23 particularly talks about this. Is a lot of people, where do I start off in the areas of faith? Or what do I do? And in Mark 11:23, the scripture says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So, you know, Jesus concludes in Mark 11:23 with the word says. He says. Now this is Kenneth Hagin's quote from him. It says, "The Holy Spirit said to him, do you notice that Mark 11:23, the word say in some form is in the verse three times and the word believe is only there once. He went on to say, my people are not missing it primarily in their believing, but where they're missing it is in their saying. They have been taught to believe, but faith must be released in words through the mouth." See, I find this all the time with people. They talk about, I don't understand why I'm believing. Well, I know by just what they told me, it didn't matter if they were believing. Their words they just said to me were unbelief. Their words are wrong. And so we need to understand some. So Mark 11:23 said, and does not doubt, now listen, and does not doubt his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done. The Holy Spirit said, you will have to preach and teach three times more on the saying part than the believing part to get folks to see it. That's why there's so much, Kenneth Hagin put so much emphasis on the saying. And see, a lot of these people, oh, this talk, saying part of it. And people begin to knock that. And people knock that stuff all the time. Yet, that is the exact problem, and they have it. And they think that this is an unspiritual thing. Well, you just walk around saying anything. Well, their stupid talk of saying anything is keeping them in their problems. And we need to understand these things. We're supposed to believe in our heart. What are you supposed to believe in your heart? What did Mark 11:20? You know what you're supposed to believe in your heart? The words that you say. See, people come along and they say, I'm believing God. But their words, they're saying. They're saying the words. They don't believe them. The words they're saying are not in line with what the Scripture says about what to believe to begin with. And their words and what's in it, nothing's lining up. And yet they're talking about it. See, when I say something, and I've learned this a long time ago, one of the things that I know they teach a lot, and I've even said with people, you know, you start to saying the right things and saying the right things. But, you know, nothing's going to come to pass till I'm believing the words I say. When I believe them in my heart and don't doubt it, and there's one of the things that I've learned over time by listening to Kenneth Hagin, because he would do that, he would do this. He wouldn't just up and say something right away till he was ready to say it. When he knew he said it, he believed it. See, many people they're saying things, but they don't believe what they're saying is true. And they're saying, well, I've been confessing, I don't understand. Well, the fact you don't understand, I know you don't believe what you've been saying. I heard a major minister, one of the biggest guys that teaches on the areas of faith and finances and all that stuff. And he was teaching on about confession, and he said this about, well, a certain thing, and I forget what it was in his life, he said, after I had said it like the 400 and something time, then it came to pass. And I thought, dear Lord, you kept track? And the fact of it saying it all those times didn't bring it to pass. Jesus only spoke to the tree once. He only spoke to it once. It isn't a matter how many times you say it, it's if you believe it when you said it. The reason many people say things so much is because they're trying to convince themselves. They have not come to the point they believe it yet. They just keep saying it and saying something, but it's believing what you said. When you believe it's going to take place, like Jesus said, the mountain is going to move. He said, you will have what you said. He didn't say, if you say it X amount of times, then it'll move. He didn't say that. So, well, we need to get over there. So we must believe in our hearts the words that we are saying. That's what we have to believe. We are to believe in our hearts and not doubt that the words we are saying will come to pass, and then they will come to pass. So the words that I'm saying, so it's one thing about it. If I'm out there confessing the wrong words and I believe them, I believe the wrong stuff. You're going to bring things to pass. People bring things to pass all the time. I want to tell you what, if you sit down and you look at things that people did, you know, just like with Elvis Presley and that stuff, his brother said, used to say, he always said he wouldn't live longer than his mom. He died the same age his mom did. Michael Jackson said that he would die like Elvis Presley did. He was married to Elvis Presley's daughter, and he said that he would die. And he did. Drug overdose. Same stuff. He said it was going to happen to him. She said, his wife then said, he'd say it all the time. People do those things. As Kenneth Hagin ran into a Rhema graduate, I think he's like 24 years old, he died. And Brother Hagin went to the hospital to pray for him. He was in the hospital in critical condition. They'd asked him to go and pray, and he went in to pray for him. And he said he went in to pray. The Spirit of the Lord said to him, spiritual law is set into motion and can't be changed. He said, it can't be changed. And he said, you know, Lord, what is this? You know, this guy says, you know, spiritual law has been set into motion, can't be changed. The Lord said to him, the Lord told him, he says, he's always been saying he was going to die. He never lived past 24. And he said he's not going to. Well, Brother Hagin said, I'm just going to test out and find out. And he said, they went to the funeral. And his funeral, and Brother Hagin said he went and talked to the guy. He talked to his brother. And his brother told Kenneth Hagin exactly. He said he used to say that stuff all the time. He said he used to, his sisters even said, yeah, he would say that. He'd say that. We'd tell him, you know, he'd sit around and say it. You know what? He believed it. May have started off as a funny thing. But he said it till after a while. In his heart, he believed those things, and it came to pass. And God said, these laws are set in motion, and they cannot be changed. See, sometimes that's why some people, you can sit and intercede and pray all you want. They're going to die. You can't change it. Because they set something in motion. They did. And they got to change that. You can't change it for them. Their heart believed it and set it in motion. Their heart did. And people have to understand it. That's sometimes, those are the kind of things that take place. So, Kenneth Hagin said that you'll have in life what you say. You're going to have in life. This is what you're going to do. You're going to have in life what you say. And this is one of the things is learning, and it is over time. So we got to, you know, check what you're saying. So what you believe God strongly in your heart will not necessarily come to pass just because you're believing it strongly. So you can believe something strongly in your heart. Now they're going to make it come to pass. Why? Because you're going to have whatever you say. You're not going to have what you strongly believe unless you're saying that. This is what most people do not have their heart tied with their tongue. Their tongue is tied to their unrenewed mind and flesh. And that's what they talk. That's what they say. They say those things. That's the things that they're talking. Their tongue is talking and saying things. You know, well, I tell you, I'm just going to be real. When anybody tells me that, I know this. They're going to say something stupid now. Listen. There'll be something dumb said here shortly. But today, what is considered real is usually has all to do with the natural and the flesh, and that's real. No, and there is the real realm, which is the eternal realm, and learning what this thing operates here in this earth. And one thing that amazes me, because if I look back when I came into the kingdom, all this stuff was the general teaching. This is what generally was taught back in the 80s. This was the general teaching. and going among the spirit-filled groups, and this is the stuff that was going on. And it's like today, you'd never know it. You'd never know. You'd never know these big-name ministers on TV and that stuff that they this was the stuff they started off in their teaching to listen to them now and talk about. They hardly even talk about these principles and things. You don't hear them anymore. Some of them, I think it's because they know them, but they think just because they know them, everybody knows them. Most people today, we're in generations, people have no clue what this stuff even means or what we're talking about. It's not being taught. And these things aren't being said. So they're not teaching the body of Christ anymore. They don't teach the body anymore. What they're talking about is some place where they're at. But that doesn't do anybody else any good. You know, you got to teach people because you have, like, especially this generation today, people don't know and haven't heard these teachings. They don't know these teachings. And you just don't say something one or two times and people get to go, oh, they got to go over it and go back to it and go back to it. You know, did you ever think kids in school, we don't start teaching them math in first grade and skip it the next 3 years and don't have any math. It's crazy. It's not the church. Church is exactly the opposite. We have to have something new all the time, giving somebody something new, talking about something new, and trying to educate people. Well, you can't educate them. It's impossible. You know? It's all, you can't even start an ice cream. You have to have, you got to be like, Baskin Robbins and have all these different flavors because, they want a different flavor every week. They can't hear the same thing again. You can't, and really what their problem is because they don't hear what they need to hear. That isn't what they want to hear. They want to give me another flavor. got to have another one. And, we can't do that. Especially something is so crucial is about what you say, the importance of it. What you believe in your heart and what you say with your mouth. If what you believe in your heart and what you say with your mouth, whenever you do that, it's going to start to bring it to pass. It starts coming to pass. And you set yourself in such a motion, you can come to the place, it's not stoppable. It's not stoppable. You can't stop it. See, we don't understand that today. Everything can be changed. No, it can't. God can change anything. Yes, he could, but men can set things in motion, and they need to understand it's outside of his law. He cannot break law. No matter how much he likes you. Randall Greer, tells a story about a friend of his he had in the ministry. They were really closest friend. The guy was a pastor of a church, and him and Randy were really close. And Randy, said about he had turned around and got cancer. And they were standing and, believing God. He said, one day I came along and he said, all of a sudden I realized we're not hooked anymore. Something's happened. He's slipping off. He's going. And Randy said, I got alone by myself, went to the Lord and said to the Lord about what's going on. And the Lord told him, I get a sense he's going to die. The Lord told him, well, yeah, he is. He said, you can't do anything about it. He said, he got over on my side. He said, he got over here on this side so much. He said, he wants to come home. And he said, as long as he wants to come home, you can't change it. He said, I don't care what you do. You ain't changing. He said, he's leaving. He said, he wants to come home. He said, he set himself. He wants to leave. See, he was going over the area. I mean, I've seen people do it. I've seen people going over the area, healing, starting to heal of a thing. And after a while, turn around and end up dying. Why? They start changing direction. They start changing. Something happens, causes them to change the direction. They're moving along, and all of a sudden they shift, they change the direction. And so you have that. And we need to understand that. This is why people just think, well, if we just got a bunch of people and we really prayed, we're just going to do it. You can't override the will of people. We got this idea that you just get out here and you just override people's will and you just get whatever you want and you just do it. Be nice if you could, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't, because people be out here praying, overriding your will all the time. And most people, I don't want them praying and getting their will for me because it'll be a mess. You don't want it, so don't try to do it to others. Because you don't want them doing it to you. Hallelujah. The most wonderful thing I said, though, is that this fact of, and I always love the fact of the idioms. If I set myself in my will and I set myself in a direction to follow what I believe in my heart and I'm saying and I'm doing, so no matter what other people do, I can bring to pass in my life the things that I believe and say. People can go out here and do whatever else they want. See, it's wonderful. You know, everybody's day is, well, you know, people will say, well, the reason we didn't have this or that because, you know, everybody was doing this. No. It's about my faith for me personally. And it's about my faith, me believing God in the direction of my faith. To me, that's the most wonderful thing it is, that I can set myself, you can set yourself to believe God. Hallelujah. And you can have what you say. If you believe it in your heart and you're saying it with your mouth, you're going to have what you said. The rest of them can do whatever they want. Hallelujah. You know, they get as many devils as they want and this and that. But I'll tell you what, you have the powers in your heart. Jesus didn't say in Mark 11:23. He said, you're going to have whatever you say. You believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth, you're going to have whatever you say. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's great news. So you set yourself in that direction. So set yourself, hallelujah, in the right direction. Kenneth Hagin said, if you're not satisfied with what you've got, check up on what you've been saying. That's an important thing. Speaking the right things. See, I know many times like, people believe in the areas of healing and stuff, but they're out here speaking and saying things wrong about the future and speaking about things about health and saying things. They don't realize they're saying stuff that's going to cause them a problem down the road. See, I watch these people that play around. Oh, you get older, your mind goes, you know, and I've had a senior moment. They start doing that thing. I'm going to tell you what, they don't realize what they're doing down the road to themselves. It won't be a laughing matter when their mind's gone. It won't be a laughing matter when they have them locked in a home somewhere and they can't allow it out because their mind's gone. It won't be a funny thing. See, people start to say stuff and they play with these things, but they don't realize that you get that over and you start talking to us after a while you believe it. Most seniors believe in their heart that their mind's going to go as they get older. Most seniors believe it. I don't like to be around them, most seniors. I don't like to be around them. Even senior Christians and spirit-filled Christians. Because they talk the same stuff the world does. They speak in the same direction. They're speaking the same stuff. Don't want to get around the stuff. Don't want to be around it. They're talking the same things, saying the same things that the world speaks. Setting a direction from themselves, sitting around and talking about, and then they turn around, well, I'm right. Can't you see it is happening? Well, sure. Because it's happening don't mean it's the way it was supposed to go. It's the way we've set the course. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about Alzheimer's. The Lord spoke to me about Alzheimer's, which I didn't even know at the time. He said, Alzheimer's never existed before. He said, people in their mouths have called it into existence, and now they've made a disease that's spreading. They've done it with their voice. There's a lot that could be stopped in this earth if men would start saying the right things about it. I mean, they do everything they can to spread viruses and everything else. They go around and talk about how it's going to spread, how it's going to go, this is what's going to happen. Confess. Believe it in their heart and say it with their mouth. They just keep it up. And the sad thing apart is many times that Christians join in with the same things, saying the same things. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Well, get taken to a good place. What do you think? Let's get taken to someplace good instead of someplace bad. Let's not our word or words be a snare. But see, words can be a snare. Words can trap people, and it does. I see that with people all the time, where their words become their trap. The things that they say become a trap to them. In the Bible, in basic English, says of that scripture, it says, you are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you. Well, I don't want to be in that. Now, we all live there. I'm going to tell you what, as a sinner, boy, did I live there. My God, that was my dwelling place. That was my secret place of the Most High. I was snared, definitely. I was in a net, for sure. I was trapped. Hallelujah. And see, that's why these things are so important. So, you know, And Kenneth Hagin said that lots of times Christians blame the devil for their problems. But he said, really, they're taken captive by their own mouth. And they don't understand. They have set traps for themselves along the way. You know, you've heard me teach when I was teaching here back, you know, in the last year about dealing with the areas of faith and talking about using faith is how we set our future. We set our future through faith. Really, faith is believe. I believe right now I receive something that's going to happen in the future. That's when I believe it. And see, when we're speaking and saying, believing in our heart words and saying those words and speaking them, they start to set our future. And you want to set yourself a good future. So you don't want to be setting yourself snares along the way. And many times, sad to say, many people have set snares along the way. And when they arrive and these things happen, they're wondering what's going on. How did this happen? And they're looking like, well, this is the devil's attack. No, it's not. You planned this one. You've been saying this thing down the road. You've been saying this thing down here 2 years ago, and you've been talking this stuff, and you've been saying, now here we arrive here, and here it is. Well, I knew something bad was going to happen. Well, sure did. You said it would. You said it. You've been talking that thing. You've been putting it out there. And see, this is one thing is when putting your faith, if you learn to put your faith out, what happens when you run into a roadblock? If you have been believing and saying, well, then when you get to that thing looks like a roadblock, you won't be a roadblock to you. You'll still say what you've been saying. See, these people arrive at a place and they start saying, because there's roadblocks here, so they start speaking the roadblock. They start talking what the roadblock is. They start saying that stuff, and that becomes their confession. And pray with me, you know, I got this problem in my life. Well, if you don't change your mouth and what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, if you don't change that, we can pray night and day for you. We can pray. You know, we just had a neighbor tell us, you know, has cancer. And, you know, and I mean, the person's a Christian, has done a lot of dumb stuff. It really has hurt him. And, you know. But they come along and, you know, they're talking, you know, just talking about it. Just, you know, the things that they were saying, I realized that, you know, they're talking to, you know, they're planning on dying. That's what they're doing. They're planning on dying. And the person said about praying for them. And I said, yes, I'll pray for them. But I didn't say I'd pray for their healing because I was listening to the direction they're going. They're saying with their mouth. Because if I go to God, I'm not to talk to God. Say, God, their direction, they're going. This, something's going to have to be changed here. Something's going to have to be different, Lord. Because just because I pray and ask God to heal the individual is planning on dying and is saying it. And I believe they believe it. So see, something's going to have to change. Now, sometimes God's grace and mercy may do a thing, but we cannot count that that's going to happen. I can't walk by faith on that will take place unless the Lord would tell me. The Lord would have to tell me that. And because to me, it's like, man, it just bugs me. It's because really they've set themselves in a direction. They haven't asked God, you know. It's like the individual, they said, well, you know, they're not going to take any chemotherapy. They told the doctor they wouldn't take chemotherapy because they've seen what happens. Sometimes there are other people go through with chemotherapy and all that stuff. But the whole thing, and I feel bad because it's a Christian, they've never asked God if they should do this. They made their decision, I'm not going to. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin had was an evangelist. In fact, it was Wanda and I were at Rhema, a young evangelist. This guy had a blow-up ministry. I mean, his ministry took off. He's a young guy. Evangelist, I mean, from even evangelist standpoint, God was moving powerfully through him, people getting saved and all kind of stuff, come down with cancer. And he was over in the areas, you know, they say standing in faith. He was believing God. He wasn't, you know, he was going to do anything from the doctor standpoint. I found out later on that he turned around, he died. But Brother Hagin had tried to talk to him to go to a doctor. You know, and he didn't want to do certain things. But you know, the whole thing of it is, I understood this, you know, going on. I understood what's happening. See, Brother Hagin was praying for this man and hearing from God. He had set himself in a direction. He wasn't asking God. He was telling God what he was going to do. See, Fred Price's wife had come down with cancer, and they were going to stand, you know, and not, you know, do anything. And the Lord told her, he said, you have a cancer doctor who goes to your church, and you go see him, and you do whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And he told her, take chemotherapy and everything, and she obeyed and did it and lived. She said, I didn't want to do that, but she said, the Lord told me. See, she got over, but see, they started looking at the fact that they were moving a direction that wasn't working, and they started asking God, what's going on? And then God gave them direction. See, you can set your direction in something, and if you don't ask God about it, He won't tell you. I've learned a long time ago, things come up, I'll ask God, well, Lord, this is the direction I'm going. Do you want me to do something? What do you want me to do? I don't just jump right at it. It's number one, God knows whether or not you'll be able to stand through a certain thing or not. And sometimes God just wants you to be obedient and learn some faith stuff under some difficult conditions, because you'll learn some good faith lessons that'll help you out later on by learning to do that. See, I'm going to tell you what, just like a person who has a fear of chemotherapy, if God can't get that fear out of them, it's going to be hard to heal them. You know what he's going to have to do probably? Lead them over to take the chemotherapy to get healed. Because he's going to have to deal with that fear. See, many people want healed, and they want healed a certain way is because they have fears of doing certain things. I buried a guy from our church because of his fears. He would not deal with fear. Tried to talk to him about it, the doctor thing stuff, but he had a fear, and he wouldn't deal with it. And I told him, his whole idea about healing was, you know, you just go for it. But he's afraid of doctors. He was afraid of them. But see, and I'm saying to not to me, he's a Christian. Praise God, he's in heaven. But the whole thing of it is, you better listen to God. Many people want a lot of things for a lot of different reasons, and sometimes people's reasons aren't good. They sound very spiritual, but if you don't understand what's going on or what's happening, and that's why we always want to stop. I want to know of God. If I'm headed a direction, I want to know with God. You know, like the other year here, back down in, you know, not past year, but the year before, when I was down in Gatlinburg, and I realized things weren't going well. The things weren't going good with me with what was going on. And I just stopped. I finally, I had enough sense to stop and say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? I know that I'm missing it. You know, I ain't one of these guys that 5 years down the road and you're still saying I'm believing God and ain't nothing changed. I do not believe in that. I don't believe in that. I have never had God ever work in me like that. So I have no place to see, and I have no place in Scripture to see where that goes on. So I know if something ain't working, okay, Ed, let's put the brakes on this thing. You know, I go a couple of weeks and it ain't working. Okay, Ed, because I have enough to know things start to work. That doesn't mean things happen instantaneously. But I'll tell you, I know when I'm hooked up and I know when I'm not. And the only thing is the thing to be hooked to God. God, I must be missing something. Well, number one, God don't miss nothing. He's always right. He knows it all. Ed don't. So I always stop and say, okay, I know. When you know on the inside something ain't hooking, so you stop. You ask God, is there something I need to do? Is there something I'm missing? As soon as I did that, He talked to me. But you know what? If I wouldn't have done that, He'd have never spoke to me. See, this is what people do. They get set in a direction, never talk to God, and wonder why something don't work out. I love Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He'll never butt in. If you don't ask it, He won't butt in. He won't push it on you. He'll let you go to your demise. He's a gentleman. He won't, if you don't ask him, he won't force it on you. We need to know that. Man, I tell you, that was one of the greatest spiritual lessons I learned. If you don't ask, you don't invite him in, or you don't ask the question, you don't find out things. And I've been amazed in my Christian walk of how many times I went through stuff and went for a period of time and thinking, my God, you're trying to hear from God on the direction you're going, you're hearing nothing. But all of a sudden, as soon as you stop, say, Lord, okay, where'd I miss it here with that? It's amazing how quickly you'd hear. I mean, I didn't have to do no fasting and no praying that morning when I got up and asked the Lord what was going on. I mean, immediately when I asked Him, I knew exactly what was happening. He told me what was going on, what I had to do, told me exactly what to do, and I followed it and did it, and it worked. And so I just encourage you in that. This is why as we set ourselves in these directions and that stuff, but we follow, you know, stay over with the Word of God, keep our confession in the right direction, keeping our confession in what God says, speaking the right things, saying the right things out there, you know, keep in touch with God, you know, stay hooked up with God on things. Don't just get your own will and your own, you know, self motivated and pushed in an direction. Number one, you could step out sometimes, and I think everybody does it, tries to bite off more than you can chew. And you have to learn. You have to learn with that. It's how far he can step out. Then you have the other side of yourself. God knows sometimes you can take bigger bites than you've been taken. And you have to learn to listen to the Spirit, because if you don't, you'll never get anywhere. Because you'll want to, lots of times, I find myself sometimes some areas I want to be safe. And let's take a little bit at a time. And God said, no, you're going to take the big bite or don't take no bites. You're going to have to go. You can do this. Why? He knows what you can do. God's going to make you go to where you can go. Why? To develop your faith. Your faith will never develop and get strong if you're always going a little bit, and you're always afraid to make a step. God will put you out there and make you take a step out. Because he knows. He won't do that. If you couldn't do it, that'd be stupid of him to do it. But he knows. And that's why he's staying hooked up with him. Following what's on the inside. Learn what's on the inside and start talking what's on the inside and put it on your voice on the outside. Start to set yourself a course. And I'll tell you, you'll have a course that works. And it will. It will work. Hallelujah. Our God's a good God. He's not trying to put anybody under. He's trying to put everybody over. Hallelujah. And he will. All we got to do is obey him and listen to him. Hallelujah. And he'll take us to where we want to go. He'll do it. He'll take us there. But just following this simple principle, especially about what you believe in your heart, start saying that. Start talking that. Hallelujah. Start to say, saying things. I mean, we have a tendency at, I don't know why the human tendency is to talk, to get negative about things. You got to learn to not to get over anything. Well, I'll tell you, they'll never change. I don't know, you want to sit that notion every time you go around. After a while, you'll be saying, you'll never change. Because when you find yourself making their mistakes and you've done told everybody that they can't change. Well, any person that I've ever had, and I've had people say to me, well, it'll never change. Every one of them never changes. Every one of them never changes. They don't. They set in motion. They set things in motion and it gets with themselves. And after a while, they can't see themselves changing. Hallelujah. So they can say what they want, but I have my voice about me. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you have your voice about you? Don't know what the rest of them said about you, but glory to God. You can say the right thing about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight. Lord God, you've set us on a wonderful course. It's the most amazing thing to me, Lord God, that you have given the human being the ability to believe things in their heart and say them and bring them to pass. It's the most phenomenal thing. Father, the power that you've placed within us to set the course of destiny is remarkable. I want to thank you, Lord God, before, Lord God, just as how great and wonderful it could be just as dangerous. And Father, we want to develop to walk with you, Lord God, stay close to you. Lord God, we want your wisdom and understanding in the use of what we believe and what we say. Father God, we don't want to go out here and just use this as a thing, Lord God, Lord, as just little children, Lord God, playing with a gun. Father God, we want to use this to bring blessing, Lord God, into our lives and into the lives of others. Father, and we thank you for it. Father, our whole desire is to be led by the Spirit of God. Father, we're not going to try to set our own course based on what we want, but Lord God, we want to fulfill your plans and purposes, and we will. Hallelujah. You know that's the desire of our hearts is to do your will. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.